What's up? Welcome to The Horrible Show. It's August 4th, 2010, and this is the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin, J-Devil, and I'm here joined by two individuals. We've got Ethan out in Indy. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, how's it going?
And Cole out in California.
Hola.
Wow.
Figures.
I learned that.
Figures. And our first podcast for the month of August, we're going to focus on the news headlines of July. We're going to go back and just kind of take a look at the stories that stood out from the month, and then we'll move on through our on-the-spot question and HorribleNight.com updates, and then get out of here with any stories that fell through the cracks. So, but before we do all of that, let's just get caught up on everybody's weekend and kind of asked everyone to pick their threesomes of the week, which is their three media examples, whether it's videos, music, books, games of the week, and to talk a little bit about them. But let's get caught up with Ethan first and see what's been going on the last week. How was your weekend?
I had a really cool weekend, actually. I didn't do anything. I played video games from Saturday at like 8 in the morning till Sunday at about 8 in the evening. It's been the first time I've done that for quite some time, so it was pretty nice. I felt like I was in college again.
Nice. What was the occasion? Yeah. Was the wife out of town?
No, she was in town. I felt bad. I felt kind of neglectful of her, but no, we've just had a lot of busy weeks last few months, and so I kind of said, you know what, I need to have a weekend of doing nothing, and I took it. I loved it, so.
It's important.
Can't complain about that. I've been playing a lot of different video games as of late. Actually, you know, Justin, you had talked about it a couple weeks ago, but I got Just Cause 2 just this past week.
Yes.
And, wow, great game. I mean, I don't want to go too much into it because we've talked about it a million times, but it's a great game, so I've had a lot of fun with that.
Good, simple, explosive fun.
Oh, yeah. It's actually, I'm shocked. I mean, the visuals, I mean, on my computer, I've got it maxed out. It's just, it's really, really impressive. I don't see how, I think it's a lot better than Grand Theft Auto, but that's my opinion, so I'll go with that. And actually, besides that, I'll be honest with you, all I've done is played video games.
Awesome.
It's not, I don't think it's sad, but I haven't read anything, and
listen to
music wise, still listen to Halloween CD, so
gotcha. No, I don't think it's sad by any means, because it doesn't happen as often for any of us, and you know, as long as you're in a situation that can support it, you know, maybe once every 6 weeks you get that weekend where you don't do anything and you just video game your heart out. And
oh, I gamed as hard as I possibly could have.
Nice. What about you, Cole? What's going on?
Oh, you know, not a whole lot. I found myself watching Auto-Tune the News a lot this past week. There was this news thing in Alabama. I don't, you guys, I'll send you the link, Justin, because it's pretty fucking hilarious. But yeah, that's just kind of the videos I was watching.
Is it just YouTube type stuff? Just
all yeah, it, yeah, it was just on YouTube, and I went to their site, the Gregory Brothers, and it's pretty funny and entertaining. But last week, the main thing I did was I turned in some PlayStation 3 games I haven't been playing, and got Left 4 Dead 2 and Assassin's Creed 2, and I've been playing Assassin's Creed 2 pretty much every day since I got it, and that game is, you know, it's pretty good. I found myself collecting, which is endless bin of me to do. but it's fun. It's like fun to look around. Like a lot of games that I've played in the past, I've gotten tired of searching for the collectibles, but haven't so far in this one. And the story is pretty good too.
I got a question about that game, just because I'm still Assassin's Creed 1 is one of those classic games that I got 3/4 of the way through and stopped playing for no reason. And yeah. So I haven't gone back to it, and I'm really looking forward to Assassin's Creed 2, but I can't bring myself to play it without beating 1. But everybody that has played 2 is just saying that it is so much better than the first one, and I, just as an outsider still, what's the big difference?
Well, I played a little bit of the first one, and I got so bored of it because it was so repetitive. And that's the thing about Assassin's Creed 2 that I haven't found, is the repetition of the missions have been so different. And it's like just this huge, huge game that I don't know if I'll ever get everything in it, but you know, I'm getting to the point where I really like everything I've seen.
Very cool.
But, and I, you know, I didn't finish the first one. I just read about it on Wikipedia and I was happy with that and jumped right into the second one.
Anything else music or reading wise?
No, not really. That's about it.
Cool. Let's see.
Justin, what about you, sir?
Thank you so much for asking once again.
So
I don't have to awkwardly transition.
But I'm going to introduce myself.
I'm going to draw this one out just so it keeps being awkward and people just wonder when we're actually going to get to the point. But
there is no point.
No. My weekend was was kind of a down weekend, like Ethan's, except I didn't have that urge to do nothing and play video games. I want to do nothing and not play video games, just because I've been really absorbed in our website and video games for, you know, really the past 3 months. And Megan and I just kind of took the weekend off and watched some movies and went around downtown Indy. And you know, I've really found, you know, for living in Indiana my entire life, other than the excursion to Boston there for a while, I really don't know much about the city at all. And we went down to the canal for really my first time walking through there, and since it's been completely redone, and I was really impressed by just the atmosphere down by the canal. And we went to the State Museum, and I continued my now I think fourth week in a row watching something that Leonardo DiCaprio is involved in, and we went and watched the Hubble 3D IMAX movie that he narrates, and not for that reason. We wanted to see the IMAX movie that was playing, and he happened to be narrating it, and it just that was pretty funny. We got a laugh out of that, but that was actually the first 3D movie I've enjoyed, just because they, you know, it's a completely different experience on IMAX when they shoot it for that reason, and even though the glasses still look awful and are uncomfortable to wear. Other than that, as far as my real movie of the week, I want to give another shout out to Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton version, just because I really love that movie. And there's just been, I don't understand when people have seen the movie and have the complete disdain for it. I can understand not really liking it or not really getting into it to, you know, an exceptional level, but I don't understand the people that just completely tear it down. And I love Alice in Wonderland and everything to do with it. And I'm a big Tim Burton fan. So, you know, it's kind of the perfect marriage there, but I still really enjoy that movie and holds up really well on Blu-ray. I was glad that I didn't really notice the 3D effects that much as far as standing out in 2D and looking out of place. So I really enjoyed Alice again. Actually, you're not going to see me do this very much. I'm going to choose a book for this week because I've been really into the Scott Pilgrim books. I bought all six volumes a couple weeks ago just to read through them before the movie comes out later this month. And I'm through three out of the six books and just been really enjoying the graphic novels. Ben and I've been talking about it a little bit, but it's. Anybody with an interest in video games or graphic novels at all should check it out. It's pretty fresh and really, really excited about the movie now.
It's been described as what, the Twilight for guys.
I read that and thanks.
Is that?
Thanks for putting me down. I don't know.
No, that's a good thing.
I'm too close to it to have an objective opinion of it now. I love everything about it and just the entire style of it. But I don't know. I guess it's probably kind of cheesy, and the will they won't they romantic tension is there, and so I it can. But I'm not drawn to it for the romance. I'm drawn to it because these are flawed people that like video games and are in bands, and they have to do battle to defeat each other. And when they defeat each other, they turn into money.
That sounds like my kind of book.
Yeah, that cracks me up. So. Let's see, what I've been playing games-wise, been obsessed with my gamer score this weekend. So, I went back and played a ton of Rock Band. So I can't choose one of the Rock Band games because I've been playing Rock Band 2, Lego Rock Band, and Green Day. But really heavy back into Rock Band. Obviously, I got impassioned enough to write our new Games of Shame series because my roommate's been out of town for a week, and you know, I sang the hell out of Green Day and sang the entire American Idiot album one evening and just had a blast. So that's actually what inspired that. But Rock Band, it's taken over my life again, and I can't wait for Rock Band 3 to come out.
I've yet to play that game. I have not. I played Guitar Hero. I have not played Rock Band. I hear so much about it. Everyone has such a good time. It's a good, I mean, good party game.
Yeah.
Haven't played it, though. Maybe it's because I don't get invited to parties.
Well, that will change because that will change. I've been trying to think of ways to do horrible night-related events around the city, and one of them will be there'll be some Rock Band nights. I still have some contacts around town of a couple bars that would let us actually set the game up there and get drinks. So we might be revisiting that soon enough, and we'll see how the wizard train is on a real drum kit. So
my fake drum kit just doesn't cut it.
No. All right, moving on to the on-the-spot question for the week. This is actually, I believe I generated this one. What is the worst release night line that you have ever waited in? And Ethan, we'll start with you.
King Kong. There's a little bit of backstory to it, and I'll tell it as quickly as I can. My dad and myself and my youngest brother decided to dress up like Halloween theme or Christmas themed characters and visit people around town, which started off all well and good until we decided to have a couple beers. And then at the end of the night, decided to go and watch King Kong. Well, King Kong was about a 2.5 to 3 hour movie. So by the time that we got in line to watch the movie, we were feeling the effects of the beer, dehydration. I was exhausted, but once we got there, we realized there was kids all around us. So we did not have the option to get out of character. We would have ruined children's childhoods if we would have done that. So we waited in line. It was freezing cold. We're all burning up and waited in line for about 45 minutes. And I don't even think the movie came out on Christmas, which was kind of weird. But it was still a huge line. That's really all there is to do in Columbus, it seems, during the winter holiday. So, yeah, we waited. We sat down. It was a bad line. The movie was great, but I feel bad because it has kind of a bad reputation in my mind. Every time I watch it, I feel sick to my stomach. So,
well. Well, at least you didn't let the children down.
I did it for the kids, which is – I can't believe I ever fought through a hangover, you know, for the benefit of children. So that'll be hopefully the first and last time.
That'll get you some points in the afterlife, I'm sure. Cole, what about you? Worst line?
Mine happened earlier this year, and it wasn't the line. Like, the length of the line or the time that I waited was the worst. It was because just the people that were around. It was for Final Fantasy 13, and it was the midnight – release of that, and I walked up, it was raining, walked up, and there's just a bunch of nerds standing around nerding out everywhere. And then the best part about it was this girl walks up and like everybody turns to look at her, and this one guy's like, guys, don't look at the girl, you'll creep her out. And she was talking on the phone to her boyfriend because she was picking it up for him, so all their nerd fantasies just got shot down.
Of course she was talking with her boyfriend. I can't believe the boyfriend sent her out there without protection.
Yeah, she was talking some mad shit to him on the phone about it, too.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Did Nathan show up?
No, he wasn't there.
Wow.
You're a brave man. I don't think I could go to a Final Fantasy or any RPG-related midnight release.
Never again, I'll tell you that much.
I'll have to do schedule the in-store pickup the next day. Have to be the route I'd go.
Yeah.
The worst line that I've ever waited in actually was a non-existent line when I went to go pick up DJ Hero at its midnight release. I showed up about quarter till... and really didn't know what to do because the store wasn't really open. Lights were on, but they weren't letting people in. And so I just kind of hung out by the door. And about 15 to 17 minutes later, the dude opens the door and lets me in and kind of looks around and no one else is there. And that's kind of the beginning of my understanding that maybe DJ Hero wasn't going to be the hit that I expected it to be. But, you know, I still have fond memories of the game. So, but the because that was a non-line, the worst true line I've waited in would be for the Dark Knight. Just because, I don't know, it was weird to wait in line with for that movie and see all the other types of Batman-related costumes that aren't of that universe, and it just really got on my nerves. And I also developed this aversion to people dressing up as the new Joker, to Heath Ledger's Joker, just because I had done it the year before. After I dressed up as him for the Halloween before it was released, so probably like 9 months or whatever before, and he had started showing up at every. I remember seeing the Joker at Watchmen and in other movies. People were dressing up as him for midnight releases, and I just those characters just really started to annoy me because the real deal is so much better. I don't know. I'm kind of an elitist when it comes to that movie, but I did not have fun with those people. That's for sure. So, all right. Let's leave that on a negative tone. Jeez, bringing down the house. All right. Woo. Okay. We've actually changed the horrible show, evolved the horrible show in the last few weeks to trying to be more topical focused rather than news driven. But I still think it's important to stay in touch with what's going on in the games industry. But so we're about once a month, we're going to go back and look at the headlines of the month before and really, you know, give them some time to sort themselves out to see what news stories are really worth talking about. So we kind of went back over the last month's headlines and pulled out 9 or 10 articles that we felt have a little bit of gravity. And we're going to talk through the topics and, really decide if we think they're gonna matter in the long term. So Ethan's got a couple articles, and then Cole, myself. But we'll start with Ethan. Just start with your first headline.
Mine are kind of based around kind of the impact of fans, and you know the way that affects, you know, video games and post release you know content for video games. I'm gonna start with the Sci-Fi Channel is actually coming out with which at first I thought was a movie, but it's actually turned into an original series for Red Faction called Origins. It's supposed to actually the first episode is supposed to come out when the new game Red Faction Armageddon comes out, which is kind of an interesting thing. I've never seen a television show and a video game come out, you know, within the same week. It's usually a book or a comic, sometimes an animated movie. But this is a new direction. I've been playing Red Faction. The story itself doesn't really, I don't know if it lends itself to a series. I'll be made wrong. I have no issue with that. I just play that game to blow stuff up, plain and simple. And I just can't imagine what type of character development comes from that. It's supposed to be between those two games, Red Faction Guerrilla and Red Faction Armageddon. Alec Mason from Red Faction Guerrilla, his son, will be the pivotal character. So, interesting. Sci-Fi Channel is pretty hit or miss, though. I'm gonna say it's. I'll be surprised if it is good. I will be very surprised.
I just got into Red Faction with the most recent game. Sorry, it's slipping my mind. It's not Armageddon. What was it?
Guerrilla.
Sorry. I got into it with Guerrilla, and I'm with you. The world, the story, the gameplay, all kind of generic, but it's fun as hell to blow shit up. I won't argue with you there. And if this was EA or Activision trying to do this with a series, I'd be really questioning it. But because it's THQ and they're kind of an outlier out there, they're trying to make some waves. They're trying to establish a presence for a lot of their franchises that I'm glad they're kind of, you know, pushing the envelope here. And there's really no better, if they're going to do this, if they're going to make it a series, there's no better channel to do it on than the Sci-Fi, just because you know, the foundation has been laid with how Battlestar took off with, you know, they tried the pilot, see if it got any traction, and if it does, it turns into a series. And I'm sure we'll see if it you know, we'll at least get a taste of it from the pilot, and if it sucks, we'll make fun of it. But there's an off chance that, you know, it could be halfway entertaining. I mean, it's got an interesting storyline to it, just with the colonization of Mars. And if they can do something with it, awesome. If not, hey, I'm still applauding them just for trying. So.
Yeah, that I you know, you've got Stargate too from sci-fi, yeah, as well. So I mean, they yeah, you make a good point. They do have two pretty intense fan bases around both those sci-fi themed shows. So I mean, yeah, it could take off. I'd like to see some of the aliens from Armageddon come into it though. That would make it really cool. You know, there's not a whole lot of you know, horror themed sci-fi shows out there, so that could be an interesting twist. So yeah, I think you kind of made me more excited about that now. I don't know.
I have zero expectations of it, but but THQ's got to do something, and yeah. This is, you know, they've got balls. I cheer for balls. How about that?
I love balls.
This podcast went in a totally different direction.
All right, what do we think? Does that story gonna matter in a couple of months?
I think it will, but I think it may matter negatively. I think people will talk about it in a bad way, especially if the show doesn't do well or the game doesn't do well. If it does do well, I think they'll be talking about it for a much longer period. I have my doubts. Same as you, zero expectations.
Do they have a timetable on when it's gonna come out?
March 2011.
All right. I think it'll still be worth talking about, because if they fall, I think someone else is going to will try it, and hopefully, you know, somebody with maybe EA will do something with, you know, a Dead Space series or something like that. I'm just throwing that out there.
It'll be interesting to see who they cast too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
What do you think, Cole?
I have no interest in it whatsoever.
Doesn't matter.
No, I think it's kind of stupid, but I mean, I applaud them for trying, but yeah.
So it's stupid. Should they not try this with any game series? Or do you think this, you have to have a certain amount of clout before you try this?
Yeah, I think, I mean, how well does Red Faction sell?
I think Guerrilla sold pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't know if they're going to get a million people to watch it every week. That's the thing. Like, yeah, that seems to be around the sci-fi is like magic number of series. And, you know, if you get a million people, that's kind of where, you know, where the success or failure lies.
But I don't even think they can relate it to, I mean, that million figure comes from Battlestar. It's not going to be on that. I think if they get half the numbers of Battlestar, then that's a good start. But
I think if they, I mean, I'm sure they'll have some creative way to bring it out and have a story, but it all depends on the quality of the show. I mean, who knows, really?
Yeah.
There's, like Ethan said, it's been hit or miss, and there's been some pretty awful shit on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah. All right. What you got next, Ethan?
Actually, so, I mentioned Twilight in a mocking way just a little bit ago, but I'm going to bring up kind of that, the idea of Team Jacob and Team Edward, but being applied to Gears of War 3, actually. I sound like I'm stretching on that. I actually am not. As everyone knows, the Carmine brothers from the Gears series usually end up not doing so hot within the game. They usually die about halfway through. Anthony and Benjamin, well, they've got a younger brother, Clay, who is going to be featured in Gears of War 3, and we as the fans are given the option of whether or not he's going to make it through or whether or not he's going to die. You're able to buy t-shirts that, you know, have either phrase on them, and based on the sales of the t-shirts, from what I pull from the article, is how they're going to determine what happens to that character. I think it's really interesting because it's kind of saying, hey, fans, you know, you want to make the fans part of the game, and I think that Gears of War 3, or Gears of War in general, has some really good fans, and I think it's about time that they got a little bit of love and got a little bit of, choice in what happens to certain characters. I'd love to see Carmine, you know, live though. The picture that is shown on the article, he looks like a total badass. So I'm hoping that more people want him to live, but you know how this world is. People love to see people get killed, so that may not happen. I may be being optimistic there.
Just to clarify, you buy the t-shirt for your Xbox avatar. You
know, avatar, got it. Okay.
You don't buy it for yourself, even though some people from Comic-Con actually got to take some t-shirts home with them. But I'm torn on this. I think it's a cool idea. I think it's stupid that you have to pay for it. Gears is a big enough franchise that it doesn't need this additional marketing push, but it could embrace its fans and let us, you know, I'm more apt to actually wear the shirt if I don't have to pay for it. So I was all excited for it when I thought it was free.
But but you know what it's for? It's for the Child's Play charity thing. So like all the design or either both sales of the shirt go towards that Child's Play charity. All the money goes towards that.
Shit. Now I have a choice. I can either pretend to be ignorant or I can
pretend to be a dick.
And I think I remember reading that, but I forgot about that. You're right. Yeah. All right. Fuck it. I'm going to go buy a Carmine Lives t-shirt because I'm with you. He looks like a badass, Ethan. And I like the fact that they've created this. We've noticed the two Carmine characters just from them talking about it and from, you know, they just made another character important, even though they aren't. I like that. And I think it'll be a nice twist if he lives. So, and, even though Cliffy B wants him to die. So, yeah. So what do we think? We'll be talking about this, let's say, months after the release of Gears of War 3.
I think it depends on if it's a meaningful death or if he lives in a meaningful way, then maybe, yeah. But I just think the whole game of Gears of War will overshadow anything about Carmine.
I agree with that. I think that, I mean, you've got a chance to really get people behind a character and have a really epic end or beginning to him, you know, kind of like Ghost from Modern Warfare 2. You know, people got behind that character, and it wasn't necessarily, one of the main characters, but it was someone that people, you know, identified with in one way or another. I think this could be it for Gears of War 3. I think people kind of like that, you know, kind of backup character, you know, the one that doesn't say a whole lot and isn't, you know, the focus of the action. I think people can get behind it. You may have some Carmine fan groups after this, so I think people will be talking about it.
I don't think they'll remember it until somebody else does it again. I think you're right, Cole, in that it'll be completely overshadowed by the end of Gears of War as a trilogy, and, you know, Carmine will just be a part of it. I don't think we'll actually really even notice, but when someone else tries to do a similar contest, because we're only seeing the beginning of the uses of avatars and avatar merchandise in games. I think when someone else does a similar contest, they'll harken back to this moment and talk about whether it was a success or not. And, you know, now that I know it's for charity, I hope it's a success.
Oh, so disappointed.
All right, what's next, Ethan?
You know, going from, you know, trying to get fans involved to fans making themselves involved, people got pretty pissed off about the redesign of Cole from Infamous. He in the first game, he was kind of a darker character, you know, the shaved head, looked pretty menacing. When the demo for Infamous 2 came out, he had a full head of hair. He looked a lot like Nathan Drake, actually. And the redesign was, I don't know what their thinking was behind the redesign, but it caught Sucker Punch off guard a little bit, and they actually got a lot of negative feedback from that. And I respected them for the fact that they took into consideration what the fans were wanting. The fans didn't want this new kind of suave-looking character. They wanted their gritty Cole back, and I think that speaks highly of Sucker Punch for taking their fans' consideration into or taking their fans' viewpoints into consideration on that. So it's you know, the where the movie industry went wrong is the fact that the movie industry felt that they could manipulate how fans felt about certain series, and I think that this is setting a good precedent in the fact that fans really do have a voice, and if they don't like something, they're going to speak out about it.
No, couldn't be with you more. I was disappointed in the new direction for Cole, but I want to see the character evolve. So I hope they redesign somewhere in between who he was and who they showed off at E3, because that wasn't Cole. Like, that was way too happy and way too, you know, he's still a damaged goods, you know, no matter how you played him in the original. And especially for someone who played him as completely evil. And that I could not see my character evolving into what they showed off. And the fact that they, you know, I thought it was set in stone, and the fact that they went back and after the feedback redesigned him, I think that's fantastic that they're listening to their fans. Cole, have you played Infamous? Do you care?
I haven't played it. I just played the demo. It's just one of those games that's been sitting there just waiting for me to buy it. But I think the Sucker Punch is walking a very fine line here with doing what the fans want to be done. That you can get in a lot of trouble doing that sort of thing and falling into a certain trap, you know, that you might not be able to get out of. Like the example I just thought of is like in pro wrestling, you have these like very outspoken fan bases of what they want to happen. But, you know, if the thing that happened was exactly what they wanted, they wouldn't be happy anyway. So, I don't know. It's just, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. And yeah, the redesign sucked, but you know, they're walking a fine line with that.
That's a good point. I think it'll be moving on to whether it matters or not. I think it'll be determined by how good of a game Infamous 2 is. And if it's just more of the same from Infamous 1, or if it actually makes an impact. And if it makes an impact in the character design meaningfully fits into that, then I think we'll keep talking about this. But if it's just an average game with, you know, nothing amazing about it, no focused direction, I think it'll speak of that Sucker Punch really hasn't thought all of this through. What do you think, Ethan?
I think I see both points. You can't be dictated by your fans. It is going to come down to how well the game goes. And realistically, I mean, Cole's right. If it's one design, someone's going to be pissed. If it's the other design, no one's going to be happy. I think, Justin, if they find that in between, it'll be good. And again, they have to have a reasoning behind the redesign, not just redesign for the benefit of redesigning. But if they have some sort of progression in mind, then people will respect that, whether or not they like the look or not. So, you know, again, I think that people are going to be pissed no matter how you slice it. So we can just hope to God it's a really good game and it already looks awesome. So,
cool. All right. Cole, we're going to move on to your headlines once you get us started.
My first headline is the Kinect has been priced at $150, but it includes the Kinect Adventures game that they showed off at E3 a lot. I think the technology contained within has to dictate the price of this, but I think it's going to price out a lot of people that might have been excited when they first saw the Kinect. That it includes a game is great. But again, like, it's only $50 more to get a Nintendo Wii. So I think the people who are on the fence of buying something like this and buying a Wii, they're going to go for the Wii every time because you also have to buy the Xbox. And I think they're going to have a bundle as well. I think it's going to be $300 with the 360 and the Kinect. But it's going to be the smaller arcade style of the 360, I believe, with only 4 gigabytes of space.
Yeah, you're right. It's the
excuse me. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Definitely going to buy it. The one benefit I can see the Kinect having is the games are going to be a little cheaper. They're going to be around $50, so that's one plus. But you know, it's yet to be determined how good these games are actually going to be and how they're going to play.
Yeah, I don't know where they could have gone with the pricing. I mean, I think it has to be $150, but they have to know it's not going to be competitive. Because you're right, the audience they're trying to attract with this is a new Xbox buyer. And so that person is dropping, if they're not buying that arcade version, they're dropping $450, $500 just to get all of this. And that's a major purchase for someone that, coming from the casual crowd that is looking more finally at the Wii and or already owns the Wii. I mean, that's probably more likely. You're not going to get – I don't think there's still that – I don't think that magical group out there that doesn't own a console that is going to own a console in the next 3 or 4 years really exists. They've bought a Wii or they haven't. And this isn't offering – I think this is offering them something even more abstract than what the Wii offered. So – It's going to be a tough sell, but I think if they had another – I like that they bundled in a game. I think they should throw in Kinect Sports too. I think they should throw in Adventures and Sports because you can't throw in just sports, and there's just too many Nintendo comparisons there. But I think if you threw in both of those, you might have an easier sell. And then you need another flagship game because I think Cole, you and I are both looking at it like and looking at Dance Central as the potential game there.
Yeah, and the good thing about it, they've said that it's going to be $50 as well. So I don't know. I hope all the Kinect games are going to be that in that price point.
Oh, so they did say that about Dance Central. They were kind of unsure about the third party games if they'd still be able to be priced that way.
Well, this one's going to be, I don't know about all the other ones, but this one it will be $50.
It's still, that's good. Harmonix is very smart in doing that. So,
I mean, what do you think the best price? I mean, they would take a big loss. At, like, I'm thinking like $100 would be like the prime zone for it. But
yeah, because then
you have to wait a couple years probably to get to that point.
I think I'm kind of surprised they're not doing it because they have the chance to get a new audience and an audience that 360 has been missing. And I think if they took the hit, they could convert some people and get some more gamer profiles out there and get them hooked in. And it would be worth it in the long term, but which is kind of more of the strategy they took with the original Xbox and the launch of the 360 that they took some hits on the hardware. And the $100 would be sweet. I kind of almost expected $125 because everybody was saying $150, and it's too close to I can get a Wii for $200.
You know, if Nintendo is smart, and I'm sure, I mean, that doesn't cost $100 or $200 to make the Wii, they'll drop it down to $150 this Christmas.
Yeah,
and just be like, you know, whatever. Try to beat Disconnect.
Yeah, we've been printing money for years. We can afford to do anything.
Yeah.
I think this does matter. This is, and we're gonna know right after the holiday season, whether or not this price, if it doesn't sell, it's for the price point, not for the technology, because I think there's enough interest in connectables, adventures, and sports for the casual crowd, and I think all the like kind of serious gamers have been looking at Dance Central as a potential for their living room. So
it's crazy. It's going to be a $200 hit just to buy the Kinect and Dance Central for those gamers, you know?
Well, I'm not concerned about us. We'll spend the money. I mean,
no, but I'm saying for everybody else, it's $200.
For everybody else, they're still just getting Kinect Adventures. I don't think they're buying another game.
That's probably true.
They're just getting that bundle for Christmas. They're not buying any other games till next year. So, what do you guys think? Does it matter?
If it does well, I mean, I think people. It's again, the casual gamers is what they're going to have to shoot at. Being someone that has a Wii and an Xbox, and you know, if I'm going to buy a new Xbox, Kinect isn't going to be what makes me buy a new one. You know, I've got a Wii. I haven't seen anything that separates it from the Wii quite yet. But again, I'm not a super Wii fan either, so I don't think I'm the demographic. You just hope to God that they have something that keeps people in there. And I think they should take a hit on the hardware because the software is what's going to push them to success.
I want a super Wii right now.
Yeah, is that the next console?
Did I say super Wii?
You said super Wii.
I have early super Wii, so...
Wow. At least
we didn't get through that conversation without a Wii reference. All right, Cole, what's next?
Speaking of Wii, what did I have? apparently, I forgot where I was going. Actually, the next two things I'm going to talk about have to do with Nintendo. Apparently, there is a Zelda timeline. There has been rumors and speculation. Yeah, speculation for years that there is some method to Nintendo's madness, but we're not going to know about it because it is a secret document, according to, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, a producer of Skyward Sword, Japanese guy. Him and Mr. Miyamoto have this document that they refer to, so they, you know, everything, I guess, makes sense to them, even though it doesn't make sense to any of us.
I call bullshit. That's it.
That
gaming timeline is so convoluted. Either it's convoluted or Link is just a really bad hero and he has to continue fighting the exact same guy over and over and over again. It confuses me so much. Link to the Past was the last Zelda game I played and loved. I liked Ocarina of Time, but I just didn't get into it. Those games just confuse me so much.
I think this quote almost has to come out of just some random conversation because it seems really unnecessary. Like,
right.
I think we'd all kind of just embraced that The Legend of Zelda is just almost a timeless story and that they can place anywhere. And it doesn't matter whether or not they're connected. It has those same basic elements. And, you know, we have all kind of accepted that at this point. And this just kind of just makes me slightly confused and put off by them pretending that they're all part of some grand plan that we have planned out 35 Zelda games and this is the order that they go in and it'll blow your mind on the Super Wii when we bring it all together.
Finally, they're gonna get to the end of that storyline on the Super Wii. It's gonna take a Super Wii to keep that going. So.
Yeah, I
think it's all some dream that Mario's having anyway, and the final the final battle against Wart we'll all see how it comes
together. There's a lack of vegetables in Zelda though. Unlike Super Mario Brothers 2.
I think there's just carrots that Epona eats and yeah. Huh. Anyway, what do we think? Does this matter at all?
No.
All right, moving on.
All right, to the next Wii game it's rumored to come out on 360 and PS3. I'm going to talk about NBA Jam.
Woo!
I'm really looking forward to this game. This will be the first Wii game I've bought in a long time. It's going to have your regular NBA Jam style of play, but the thing that is really interesting to us is the classic rosters that were announced that will bring to all our Pacer fan friends Deadlift Shrimp back into the fold. On the Pacers, yes.
Not on the Sonics.
No. Who wants to play him on the Sonics? But other guys that they're going to bring back, Dennis Rodman, Hakeem Olajuwon, James Worthy, Kevin McHale, Spud Webb, and Manute Bol, recently deceased Manute Bol, Larry Bird. Yeah. And I don't know if they're using all these classic guys, but they're going to have boss battles. So I don't know if they're going to be – each one of these guys are going to be boss battles. Do you know, Justin?
Well, from what I was reading before that trailer came out, I was expecting like – they keep showing this image of Magic Johnson. We'll have to find it that he kind of has this special – special graphic that makes me think that he's going to be a boss, and I would think like him and almost some of the Hall of Fame guys, that level of people, they might be the bosses. But I was just surprised.
Deadlift Shrimp's not going to be a boss.
No, but additional classic players for those franchises. That's really cool.
That is very cool. So you can team them up with the current players.
And... Yeah, it was like Shrimp and Granger, and you know. Luckily, we're an Indiana-based blog because no one else knows what the hell we're talking about. But
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, I think they're talking.
They're all thugs.
They're talking on the Bombcast, the Giant Bombcast, about Magic Johnson being able to teleport all over the court. So, and he will be a boss. So that'll be interesting to see what they can do with the other players.
Really,
if they have other magic tricks, or you know, like. They said Yao Ming was going to be a boss as well. So is he going to be is he going to build a Great Wall of China as his defense? Who knows? Who knows?
Wow.
Oh,
he wouldn't have that much time.
But Yao Ming
is completely impractical.
Yao Ming is as magical as Magic Johnson. So
if not more so,
yeah. I don't think this really matters, but I'd rather just close this topic with everybody giving a their favorite NBA Jam quote.
Boom shakalaka?
He didn't say that with enough feeling. You have to say it like the announcer.
Boom shakalaka!
He's heating up.
Overtime.
There we go.
There you go.
All right. Moving quickly to the headlines that I noticed. Not that I didn't notice your guys' headlines, because they're good headlines, guys. Good job.
Don't patronize us.
Blizzard was involved in a little bit of a controversy with their Real ID concept that they were trying to implement into the Blizzard forums, that basically publicized your real name when you're making forums posts. And there was just a massive uproar from the community that, you know, they were crossing a privacy line there, and no one was in support of it. And Blizzard quickly retracted the fact that they're gonna implement this, so the forums are safe for now. But in that statement, they also mentioned that your real ID will be a part of Battle.net going forward, and I think eventually you're gonna see your real names be publicized next to what your online accounts are. And I think they're just trying to establish some civility to their forums and to their community, so to cut down on cheaters and the anonymity there. But at the same time, especially I can't really speak for the StarCraft community, but for the World of Warcraft community, they kind of love their anonymity, and that's why a lot of those people play those games, that to escape and become those characters and to not, you know, have to associate with their real life. And I cannot see any implementation of that going over well or working well for Blizzard. But at the same time, after a certain point, they've got so many subscribers, it won't matter what they think. So it'll be really interesting to see where it goes from here. What was your guys' initial reaction to that idea of your real name being on the forums?
You know, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. It does make sense. People do want to be anonymous. They do want to escape. I think that some of the people that really complained about it were more than likely the people that they were aiming the whole proposal at. You know, the jerk-offs and those kind of guys that are just on there just to give people a hard time. So, you know, I think that, I mean, I don't necessarily want my name, you know, up there when I'm playing, you know, StarCraft or whatever, but I'm not as concerned about it because, again, I'm not doing anything that's destructive to other people. So I think that the guys and gals that are more upset about it are more than likely the ones that you know, are kind of worried about their, you know, some of the things that they have been doing in the past. However, I do know that there are people out there that do need that as an escape. And I think that those people being punished for the wrongdoings of others, it isn't right. You know, it's just like what happened with you know, Assassin's Creed 2, you know, and having on the computer and having to have a constant internet connection. I mean, don't punish the good gamers because the bad gamers are doing something that's not correct. So I don't know. I'm torn on that one.
Yeah, you just made me more torn because I'm with you that it doesn't bother me. I kind of understand how internet privacy works and that it doesn't, and that. You know, I'm not a dick on the forums, and I, you know, I'm not publicly cheating on those games, so doesn't bother me. But you're right, shouldn't punish the you know, the people that are just in the game just a game, and they don't even care about any of the other stuff. So it's a tough road, but Blizzard's going to be the one to figure it out too. So we'll see more from this story as they continue to, you know, roll out, trick people into rolling out Real Idea piece by piece until it's out in the way they originally imagined it, and we don't even know it.
It'll be interesting to see if they do it, if other if other studios or consoles pick it up and force people to use their Real ID. Mm-hmm. I think, like Christina has talked about in the past, being harassed, and I think for female gamers, that is a big issue. They need to protect their IDs more than anything else because guys are creeps, and you know, they'll do whatever they can to creep the girls out. But I also think, like, I don't have a big problem with it either. Like, I'm I'm secure in myself that I know I'm not a jerk online. I'm not cheating or treating other people or using slurs or slander or anything like that. So I don't know. I think it would be good for to control those sorts of things, but at the same time, you know, it's rough. It's a rough thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see if they keep pushing it or if they completely back away. I think that'll determine whether it means anything. And I think they need to go another route. So the other thing, the next story I want to talk about was the cancellation of Xbox Live or Xbox Live's first primetime focused game, One Versus 100, the game show that you can play with 100 other people, well, thousands of other people. Did either of you guys actually try this game, or was I the only one?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I played multiple rounds of their offline of their off season or their non-live version of the show, and I played maybe two or a handful of the actual event itself. So they'd allow you to play certain hours of the day, but it wasn't the actual show. And then they would have a designated time period where they were actually playing the show live, and that was when it was most exciting. And you could be in the 100 or get a chance to be the one and win some prizes. And it was one of those things. It was free for Xbox Live Gold members and completely ad supported, and apparently weren't making enough money, and it wasn't working, so they've had to cancel it after two seasons. And I think I just have a fondness in my heart for the game just because it tried to do something different. It definitely was a little bit janky and wasn't working quite well, but you know, I'd hoped that they would do more primetime games like this where you kind of got used to having set times where you would go and play social games with groups of people and for actual real life prizes and have a little bit of interaction that way. And you know, I had a couple nights when I had a couple friends over and we were all playing on the same screen. And you know, I know Cole, you're really into the Buzz quiz games, and it's the closest thing Xbox has to that. And trivia games are fun, and especially as a social game for, you know, non-hardcore gamers, and I'm always looking for games that I can play with friends to introduce them to the Xbox, and this was a great one. And it's just kind of sad that it didn't work out, but it was kind of also inevitable. But I just wanted to point out the fact that they gave it a good run, and maybe we'll see a different take in their next primetime attempt. So,
do you think they're gonna make any more primetime attempts?
Yeah, they've just talked about taking that kind of that brand and doing other things with it. They haven't announced anything specific, but they're saying that team has moved on to other primetime projects. So they're still out there, and maybe we'll know more next time. Or you know, this could be. I think a lot of this stuff that they're doing with the dashboard updates and just the little, you know, the apps that are starting to show up with like the Destination Arcade, for lack of a better term, they're just kind of doing a lot of trial and error with this version of Xbox Live. And since they got rid of the classic Xbox Live for the first Xbox, they're able to try some new things, and I think we will see the fruits of all these trials in the next version of the Xbox. So we may not see the immediate impact of One Versus 100, but I can only imagine the lessons they actually learned from it.
Yeah, it seems like it's definitely something that would be, you know, more popular in the future. Like if they can figure out like a different kind of game show or make up their own game show, and I can see even the PlayStation copying it. And I just think this is going to be something that we see a lot of in the future.
I hope so. It's to me, that's much more interesting as a casual gamers than, you know, another puzzle game or another waggle motion
control
game.
And especially since it's free, like, I mean, you have to be a gold subscriber, but it's going to bring a lot more people in than like a Buzz where you have to actually go out and buy the system and the controllers.
I think Xbox Live Gold needs more incentives. You're right. And if it can be ad driven and not give me, you know, be another thing I have, feel like another thing I'm paying for, that's a good thing. So
maybe that's the casual crowd they should go for instead of, you know, the Kinect, and try to give all these games and stuff socially on the Xbox Live. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think long-term, the Kinect, I think you're going to see it being used for more menu navigation and that sort of thing, and like a combination, hopefully a combination of the controller and motion stuff. But I think eventually the novelty is going to wear off, and but there will be something refined from that camera experience that will live on. That's a whole other broader topic. Last thing wanted to talk about as far as July headlines that I got really excited about was Valve released a free game. They released Alien Swarm about 2 weeks ago, and it's a top-down co-op shooter that you have up to four people taking on, you know, essentially an Aliens ripoff, and for lack of anything. But it used to be a Unreal Tournament mod that they turned into a full game. Valve bought the team, or hired the team that originally created this mod for Unreal Tournament, and had them working on it for the Source engine, and decided to release the game for free, and have even patched it. And I've seen people tweaking the console that you can actually play it as a first person game rather than a top down game. That looks pretty interesting. I've spent maybe an hour and a half with the game, and you know, it's really repetitive, but it's a fun class based co-op game that you know, if you've got a group of friends, it's not like you have to talk them into buying a game. They just have to download it. And I'm always pumped up when companies, this is what sets companies like Valve apart, when they continue to support their community with the way that they update Team Fortress 2, and now they're releasing free games. I don't think we'll see a lot of this, but it's, you know, I definitely like to point it out and applaud it when it does happen.
Yeah, I think that it does say a lot about Valve as a company, because I mean they could have sold that game, and I think people would have bought it. And it makes me, you know, I'm not attached to too many brands when it comes to video games. I'm attached to titles, but I mean I'm attached to Valve. I mean Valve really has impressed me. You know, I think Alien Swarm, I think, you know, it's got, you know, a little bit of Left 4 Dead, you know, in it, in the sense that you have to have your buddies with you to survive the game. I just need to find some buddies to play. I haven't been able to get onto an online match, so I haven't been able to, you know, get the full feel of it. But I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive. It's a free title, and Valve, again, you know, through Steam, through the Steam deals, through all of that, I'm continually impressed with the kind of support the fans have.
Yeah, I don't think in the long term this will matter. I think we'll forget about Alien Swarm, but again, just high fives to Valve. So that wraps it up for the headlines. As far as moving on to HorribleNight.com updates, some recent additions to the site. We continue to expand our editorial series, even though we've actually been looking to flush out the ones we do have, but you know, when we have a good idea, we're going to run with it. And so last week you saw the introduction of the first of our Games of Our Wives series, where we're going to interview our significant others when they actually spend a significant amount of time with a game, and we're going to find out why. And we also, on Tuesday, you saw the first of our Games of Shame series, where I revealed my fears about being caught singing Rock Band by myself. And there are a number of games throughout my history and our gaming history that we aren't necessarily proud of, that we keep going back to for whatever reason, and we're going to evaluate the risks of being caught versus the good things that game actually brings. And then our newest series that you'll see later this week is Video Game MD, where we look at games actually curing your everyday battles, when there are certain real life situations that you can't quite handle, but a video game may give you the fix you need, so you don't have to you know, break any laws or break any faces to deal with the situation. And games are quite handy in taking the edge off in those situations. So you'll be seeing the first in that later this week. And I also wanted to give a shout out to Rovio Mobile, the developers of Angry Birds, just because they were super nice to us last week when we posted the article and drew it to their attention, and they liked the Games of Our Wives article enough to post it to their followers, and we got a lot of new readers from that. And if anybody from there is listening to the podcast, thanks for checking out HorribleNight.com. And thanks to Rovio for being super cool and posting it for everybody. So we're going to get out of here. We've been running a little bit long, but before we took off, I'm sure there are a couple stories that fell through the cracks that you guys wanted to say a few words about before we took off. So, Ethan, what do you got?
You know, I just wanted to point out, I don't own this game yet. I'm going to, but Red Dead Redemption impresses me with the amount of DLC coming out. And I actually thought to myself a couple weeks ago, wow, this game could really use some zombies. I say that about every game, but lo and behold, Red Dead Redemption is coming out with a DLC later on this year where they feature zombies as, you know, a prominent antagonist. So I'm going to pick that game up here soon, hopefully. So that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, if we could sum up Ethan, it would be in two phrases that I would use. A zombie is a zombie is a zombie, which we all learned a couple weeks ago. And two, you can't have enough zombies. So
that's
Cole,
me.
Cole, what do you got?
Well, I wish this game had some zombies in it, but I went and bought Braid after our podcast last week about downloadable games, and frustratingly love that game. God, there's some parts in there that are so hard that you just get stuck and just sit there and stare at the screen for 10, 15, 20 minutes, even to an hour. And I love that kind of challenge, and just the art style and just the ingenuity of the game is just very impressive.
Worth $15?
Oh, hell yeah.
No, sorry. That game's 10. $10. That's,
it is worth 15 though.
Yeah. I'm glad I could help you out there, Cole. I don't mind touting games and making all of you guys spend money on games that are actually worthwhile. I'm sure I will lead you in the wrong direction sometimes, but Braid is a no-brainer. So the last thing I wanted to say before we got out of here was one of my favorite game studios, Double Fine Games, the Tim Schafer studio, the makers of Brutal Legend and Psychonauts, more famously for Psychonauts, hopefully. Wasn't a big Brutal Legend fan in the end. They've been notorious for spending multiple years developing their games, 3 to 4 years at a time, and you know, have really only produced two games in the last decade, and that can get frustrating at times. Just being a big fan of theirs, they've announced they're going a different route now, and they're actually working on four games at once with smaller teams. So they'll be smaller games, probably headed up by certain individuals, where Tim kind of oversees the whole. But we're gonna get a little bit of different flavors out of Double Fine and much more. And I think that's a much better route for them to take than to, you know, focus on doing a Brutal Legend 2. Sequel or anything like that we won't see until the next console generation. So more Double Fine games is always a good thing, and I'm happy to see that they're going a different route this time, and can't wait to find out more about those upcoming games. So that is going to do it for this week, and we will be back next Wednesday with another episode. And until then, guys, thanks for joining me.
No problem.
Thank you.
We will see you next week. Mm-hmm.